happening now. WREL is following hundreds of people in Durham joining a worldwide movement for better wages and work conditions.
Some UNC faculty didn't know what was happening in real time on their own campus yesterday. What they want from administration after a clash between police and protesters.
Then, shocking new surveillance video of thieves using a forklift to break into a local gun range. What they stole.
Then, the weekend is trending drier, but we're not completely in the clear. Don't make outdoor plans until you see our forecast.
Marijuana could get reclassified as a less dangerous drug. The ripple effect this change could have in North Carolina.
Right now, here at 7 o'clock, we begin with breaking news. Hundreds of people marching through Durham following a May Day rally. There are several issues at the center of this demonstration. Some groups calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. Others calling for affordable housing and better pay. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. This all started at CCB Plaza downtown. About 200 people marched all the way to Duke University. WREL's Aaron Thomas is there live with a large crowd. Aaron, they just stopped within the last about 10 minutes.
That is correct, Ashley. In fact, we're going to work on connecting the dots for you. As Dan mentioned, there are several messages at play from the hundreds of demonstrators that you see here representing a number of different organizations. You have Mothers for Ceasefire, the Durham Association of Educators. You also have Duke Graduate Students Union, just to name a few. They chose Duke University. I actually just spoke with an organizer. He says that with the university being private, they don't have to pay any taxes within the local community. As a result, these folks are calling for Duke to pay about $20 million in taxes to help local economy. Today is May 1st. This is a movement that's considered May Day. So this is a worldwide movement where activists and workers, they're fighting for better wages as well as better working conditions. Here locally in North Carolina, folks would like to see a working wage, minimum wage of at least $25 an hour. We actually heard personal stories of how people are having a hard time making ends meet with inflation and groceries, things getting higher. And then occasionally what we hear, like we've heard at other Triangle universities, several chants calling for a ceasefire overseas in the Middle East. We've heard some from some folks. There was one quote that stood out. They said, quote, money's for jobs and education, not for war and occupation. A lot of people want to see our United States leaders actually help fund some of the U.S. citizens here rather than anything that funds the war. So, of course, we're going to keep a pulse on things. We do see the representation from Duke University here all as well. I hear this intersection of Main Street and Campus Drive. We did see a city bus that had to be escorted. Of course, we're going to keep a watch on things, on any traffic impacts, and watch the tone of the crowd. Back to you.
Okay. Aaron Thomas, live in Durham. Thank you for your reporting.
UNC faculty say they didn't know what was happening in real time on their own campus as chaotic scenes like these played out there when protesters and police were clashing yesterday. They told the university officials they want better communication during an emergency meeting this afternoon. WREL's Carly Haynes is live near the quad where some new barricades are going up behind you. Big ones.
Yeah, here at the quad where there were tents, there are now those big black barricades. They're going up as we speak right now. Just have started putting them up over the past few hours. We did see some barricades over by the flagpole there. It looks like they've removed them as these ones have come up. The campus feels quiet. This community still, though, feeling the lasting impacts of yesterday at this emergency meeting that happened earlier in the afternoon. A faculty member said a grad student was banned from campus for 2 years. A Duke professor had a shoulder dislocated, and students had backpacks confiscated with important medication following that police confrontation. They want to know what resources are available for those students. And this committee also wants UNC to tap into mental health resources and wants the interim chancellor to explain his decisions yesterday.
I think probably the most productive thing we can do is come up with what questions do we have about what happened and getting the answers from those who were involved and who made those decisions and why they made those decisions.
Meanwhile, students are entering exam week. Committee members discuss the need to handle testing for students who may feel uncomfortable being on campus. And with graduation a week from Sunday, faculty says families want reassurance that campus is in fact safe, and they want that reassurance to come from university administration. Back to you.
All right, a reassurance right now that is looking like a barricades in the background. Carly Haynes, live force in Chapel Hill. Thank you, Carly.
Immigrants rallied in downtown Raleigh today to oppose a bill they say would make their community less safe. It would require sheriffs to cooperate with federal immigration enforcement. State lawmakers say it's needed to take criminals off the streets. WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie brings you both sides of that debate.
Republican lawmakers have actually passed this bill twice in recent years. It's been vetoed each time by Governor Roy Cooper. But Republicans now have enough votes to override Cooper's veto. And they say it's more important than ever to pass this bill because of the crisis at the southern border.
Stand up, fight back!
When immigrants' rights are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back!
Romy Salgado came to the U.S. without permission decades ago. She's a citizen now.
Pagamos impuestos!
Even if it's hard for legislators to recognize, we are productive. We pay taxes. We contribute to the culture of this state. And we are human beings with rights.
She and others urge state lawmakers not to pass a bill to require sheriffs to cooperate with federal immigration officials. Sheriffs would also be required to run ICE checks on people who can't prove their legal status. Ileana Santillan with advocacy group El Pueblo said it paints the whole immigrant community as criminals.
We've seen the data from other states that have implemented similar laws. People are being detained for minor infractions or even just because of how they look.
Santillan said it could lead to undocumented immigrants being deported because of a traffic stop. But Senator Danny Britt said that won't happen.
Without those good, hardworking folks in eastern North Carolina, the agriculture industry would shut down, the construction industry would shut down. That's not what this bill does. This deals with violent offenders who have been deported for violent acts.
About 10 North Carolina sheriffs, mostly from urban counties, including Durham and Wake, were elected after promising not to cooperate with ICE. But most North Carolina sheriffs already do, including Rockingham Sheriff Sam Page.
When we remove criminal offenders from our community, we make our community safer.
Laura Leslie, WRAL News, Raleigh.
So the full Senate is expected to pass this bill tomorrow, and then it goes back to the House for final approval. Late this afternoon, a judge granted outside experts access to Poe Hall. This is a big deal. Former grad student Dr. Darren Major petitioned a judge to let outside experts test NC State's Poe Hall for carcinogenic PCBs. Major's attorney argued that letting experts in to test and take depositions from NC State does not cause harm. The university's attorneys say Major should be required to file a claim before getting access to the building. In the end, the judge cited a pattern of delay by NC State in his decision and urgency in the matter given the petitioner's cancer diagnosis.
The feds are making moves to legally identify marijuana as a less dangerous drug. That's according to the Associated Press. The proposal recognizes its medicinal qualities, but would not legalize the drug for recreational use. WRL's Destiny Patterson explains how this will impact North Carolinians.
In the minds of many Americans, this plant is considered much less dangerous now compared to even 10 years ago.
There is a gap between where the society is and where laws are.
According to the Associated Press, the Drug Enforcement Administration plans to reclassify marijuana to fill that gap. This comes after a recommendation from U.S. health regulators.
The big distinction here is that Schedule 1 drugs are considered to have more potential for abuse and no medical use, like ecstasy or heroin. But Schedule 3 drugs are considered to have a lower or more moderate potential for abuse, like ketamine or Tylenol with codeine. This proposal would move marijuana to that lower risk category.
Scott Chipman says he thinks this is a bad idea.
They've got made no arguments for why those original conclusions were wrong. They've only been just political pressure to change their mind.
Tess Medlin works at the hemp store in Raleigh. She says this change could help us learn a lot more about the drug.
So because it has been classified as a Schedule 1 drug, the most dangerous schedule, it has kind of removed the option for people to research the product on human trials.
Don Blagrove with Emancipate NC hopes the state will follow the feds' lead.
This is a federal change. So people who are pulled over in North Carolina, they get no relief. There is no longer an appetite for criminalizing this behavior.
But for people already involved in the criminal justice system, Blakegrove says this change alone won't get them out of it,
even if the proposal is approved.
Unfortunately, the reclassification will not do much for people who have already been involved in the system.
Both Medlin and Blagrove hope this proposal will be the catalyst to legalization. Destiny Patterson, WREL News.
To be clear, it would take some time for this proposal to go into effect if it's approved. The DEA will need to take public comment also on a plan, and administrative judge would need to review it before the agency can actually publish the rule. Today, Democratic lawmakers reintroduced legislation that would change the government's approach to handling marijuana. It's called the Cannabis Administration and Opportunity Act. It would end the federal cannabis prohibition by removing cannabis from the list of federally controlled substances and empowering states to create their own laws. Senate Leader Chuck Schumer introduced the bill, and it's backed by 18 sponsors in the Senate.
Still ahead, dramatic moments caught on camera. Take a look at the moment that thieves busted through a local gun store with a forklift, what they took, and what else we know about the investigation. Plus, a new report puts some of our area's hospitals among the top in the country. We'll show you the rankings and what makes them some of the best. Kat?
Chances this weekend, but we haven't lowered them to zero. We still have some potential for rain. And we'll have a closer look at the potential timing for Saturday coming up.
Well, this is pretty dramatic video. This is of a forklift ramming into a building here. Some crooks were doing this to a Youngsville gun range trying to break inside. Happened at the Youngsville Gun Club and Range near Park Avenue and Franklin Park overnight. In the video, you can see the suspects use that forklift to smash into the building. Three men run into the store where police say they took pistols and long guns. The owner of that range, Jason Gladwell, says his security system is able to provide a lot of key details to investigators.
We do know exactly what, you know, what they did. We have got an amazing security system, so we know exactly what they did, how long they were in, tracking everything. So we've got a very good record of what's in the store, what's not in the store.
In addition to the video, Gladwell says he's working on offering a reward for information that leads to the arrest of the suspects.
Well, this next story might bring you some comfort. New rankings released today put Triangle Hospitals among the top in the country. The survey looked at nearly 3,000 hospitals in the United States. WREL health reporter Grace Haba shares how our local health systems stacked up.
The Leapfrog Group is an independent organization that ranks hospitals across the country twice each year. The facilities are ranked by state, and for the first time, metropolitan areas were also graded, and the Triangle came in the top 10. The Spring Hospital Safety Grades assign either an A, B, C, D, or F to general hospitals. It's based on how well the facilities prevent medical errors and things like falls or infections after surgery. The survey also looked at how patients rated communication with medical staff.
Doctor communication, nurse communication, communication about medication, discharge information. So whether when you leave the hospital, do you know what to look for? What could go wrong?
Several local hospitals, including Duke's University, Regional, and Raleigh Hospitals, UNC's Rex and Holly Springs, and Wake Med Raleigh and Cary, received A grades. Many others nearby were ranked with Bs.
Healthy competition is really important, and I think that it's a good sign to have several organizations that are excelling.
On the list of the top 25 metropolitan areas in the country, the Triangle was ranked 7th, with over 62% of hospitals receiving A grades. The state as a whole also cracked the top 10, coming in 8th. These rankings also show an improvement nationwide in patient experience. It's the first time that measure has gone up since before the pandemic, but it's still below those pre-COVID levels. Grace Haba, WREL News.
Progress for a universal flu vaccine Duke scientists are working on. The vaccine would target different strains of the virus and last longer. A recent experiment was 100% effective in preventing illness or death in mice. Now, researchers say it could be another decade before this could become a shot at your local pharmacy. A universal vaccine could potentially increase protection by a few years.
Well, you may not have been in an actual taxi in a while, but we can say the new taxi rates went into effect today in Raleigh. The fee now to start a ride is going up to $3 from $2. The per mile rate is also now $3. The per minute wait fee is 30 cents, up from 25 cents. These changes come after many studies and informational meetings from RPD. This does not affect rideshare companies. Meteorologist Kat Campbell on the WRAL weather patio, enjoying a beautiful evening outside near the garden.
It's been beautiful, and we have some people out here taking pictures, enjoying some grad photos, family photos. It's a perfect day for it. It is going to be hotter, though, tomorrow and Friday. That's one of the two big weather stories that we're tracking. High temperatures are in the upper 80s to about 90 degrees tomorrow and Friday. And then over the weekend, we are tracking some scattered showers and storms that are back in the forecast. A lot of focus on the weekend. We've got the Race for the Cure, the Komen Race for the Cure coming up. We also have the Ham and Yam Festival happening in Johnston County. We've got graduations. We've got weddings. A lot's happening, and I know a lot of that relies on the forecast and whether or not it's dry. We lowered storm chances to 40% Saturday after looking over some new model data. Same with Sunday. That doesn't mean that we lowered rain chances to zero, but they're down from 60 to 40, which is a trend in the right direction if you need to be outside Saturday. We do have a system approaching from the west, but it's more moisture and some upper-level energy that actually come together Saturday and would help to bring us a better chance of rain and storms. As we look toward Friday, we are expecting a warm front to lift to the north. Friday, you know, during the day, I think we'll be dry. I did want to mention we've got a 20% chance for rain Friday night. But let's talk about Saturday. The trend that we noticed today is that the heavier rain stays west of us. So you can see the yellows and the darker shades of green. Those are closer to the North Carolina mountains, closer to the forcing for the rain to develop. And for us, we could see some showers develop a bit later on in the day, but maybe not as widespread, though I do think the better chance would come during the evening on Saturday. We don't yet have high resolution model data available for the weekend, but we are going to be getting that in starting tomorrow and into Friday, and we'll keep you up to date with the exact hour-by-hour rain chances. Of course, meteorologist Mike Mays and myself tailor those by hand each day, so we'll keep you up to date if you've got outdoor plans this weekend. Late gas.
We want to get back to some breaking news. A large group of protesters are now back on the move in Durham.
So let's get straight to WRAL's Aaron Thomas live. Aaron, this all started with what's called a May Day rally.
That's correct, Ashley. In fact, so they're trying to tie several messages. So, of course, not only are they fighting for better wages, a better livable wage, but they're also calling for Duke University to pay its share in taxes to help support the local economy. We heard different stories of people who said that they're struggling with today's, you know, inflation and groceries, you name a few. And later on our late news, beginning at 10 on Fox 50, we'll actually hear from some of those folks and what they're fighting for. Back to you.
Aaron, thank you. The bear cub at the center of this disturbing and controversial video that you see right here is actually doing well tonight.
This was a disturbing thing to see. So the cub was seen being pulled from a tree by visitors in Asheville so that they could take selfies with the animal. As a result, the cub was orphaned. So after the video went viral, NC Wildlife officials stepped in, and this is her, as you can see here. She arrived at the rehab facility. They say the cub is adjusting, which is good, but she's expected to be released back into the wild in the fall. It goes to show, don't we intervene enough as humans?
It makes my blood boil, to be honest with you.
Into their habitat. Holy cow, I can't believe somebody would do that. So adoption fees for dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens are waived at Cumberland County Animal Services.
It's part of the National Empty the Shelters initiative that runs through May 15th. You can see animals available for adoption on Cumberland County's website or by visiting the shelter on Corporation Drive. The ACC Player of the Year returning to UNC Chapel Hill for a fifth season.
All-American guard R.J. Davis wrote on Instagram, "I'm back," when he posted a highlight video. He averaged 21 points a game in his senior season and moved up to fifth in scoring in program history. It marks the second straight year that a top UNC player has returned for a fifth season. Tar Heel fans got to be loving that one. Canes fans happy, too. They caused some chaos at PNC last night, scoring two goals in 8 seconds, closing out the series against the Islanders.
The final score, 6-3. Now the Canes have another more intense New York team to face. Today was a day off. Tomorrow the team gets back to work to get ready to take on the Rangers in the second round. How about this fun fact? Rod Brind'Amour and the Rangers coach won the Stanley Cup together in 2006 when they both played for the Canes.
I mean, we know what they are all about, and they get this immense talent and coach really well, and, you know, good goaltending. I mean, what don't they have? So we know it's going to be a tough matchup.
Tony D'Angelo, who left the third period last night, is feeling better. Another update for you. Brett Pesce, hurt in game two, is out of his walking boot. He is expected to play in this next series. Game times for round two have not been set just yet.
Yeah, he doesn't need to walk. He just needs to skate.
Yeah, just that simple.
Put the skate on. The skating boot. It's been fun to watch. Let's hope they can keep that momentum going with more trips to New York. Thanks for making WRL your choice for local news.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. We will keep you updated on everything that happens in Durham with that walk. Have a great night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.